I love those pins so much. Like it is just, I wish I was that creative, you know, like I wish I just had the idea to be able to do this. And then, you know, the, obviously the talent to actually be able to draw and do any of that. But I mean, you just got, and there's so many of them. Oh, there's a Piplup with like a regular tie and a cane. And that may have to be, that may, oh, hang on. I will just, I don't want anyone to not experience this. Hold on.
I'm not tuned in to enough Pokemon to like appreciate most of these, but they are cute. I appreciate the quarter.
You don't need to know anything. You don't need to know anything. They are adorable. That's all you need to know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, you don't need to know the details of their abilities or anything like that. There is a old, at this point, or you know, maybe like 5 years old or 6 years old, Brian David Gilbert video where he does a Poke Rap at a con of all, you know, 400 odd Pokemon that existed at the time. Without notes, by the way, he had it memorized. And the rap is actually like good. it's not just the names of the Pokemon. He like ordered them so that the rhythm is correct. And then he added other lines in. And it was preceded by like a half hour stand-up comedy routine about his journey trying to collect all the Pokemon and how this one sort of neighborhood bully was the only one who had the other Pokemon game to trade to get the last Pokemon that was exclusive to the other Pokemon game. And the bully knew that he had this Tangela that he had an emotional attachment to and made him trade the Tangela in order to complete his Pokedex. So he was like, this is revenge against you, you know, name of person. It's very good. It's long, but it is worth your time. So just Brian David Gilbert Poke Rap, you will find it.
Nice.
And I would watch the full con thing because then you get the stand up, not the. And you also see that he did it from memory. If you just watch just the Poke Rap, you don't. It looks like he's reading it off. He's not. The whole Unraveled series that he did through Polygon was just based on him doing like ridiculous stunts that take way too much time and then making an entertaining video about it. Like he read every Halo novel over the course of a year and then made a video about like the weird state you get your brain into when you read every Halo.
Yeah, that does, that could do some serious permanent damage for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will also just point out there are Pokemon like of the female versions of the Pokemon too. I learned this just like the other day that apparently the way you tell,
that one's really good.
Yeah, the way you tell the gender of a Pikachu, this is something I just learned, my kid taught me this, and I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago, is that the male Pikachus are like a lightning bolt, the tails, and the female Pikachus have like the rounded tails. That's how you know what the gender of the Pikachu is.
I did not know that. Uh-huh. Yes. So it's like vaguely heart-like, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah. But this is... I mean, the Charmander with like the little bonnet and the cup of tea, like, yeah. I'll stop because I'm gonna cost someone, and someone is me, way too much money if I keep doing that. But yeah. But they are delightful and they bring me joy, and I will take joy wherever I can find it at this point. So, you know.
Yeah.
I expect that when we hopefully see you at BlizzCon next year, that you will have a whole little collection of pins on your pack.
It is very possible. Stickers for my, I'm so sad because I got, so this is the other thing I got, this sticker from Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest. But the thing is, I didn't realize how big it was, and I can't fit it on my laptop without putting it on top of something else.
What it says, because, you know,
it says, audio. Yeah, it says, what a horrible night to have a curse, which is like the beginning of Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest. It is too big for me to put onto my laptop without overlapping some of the other stickers that are there. And I'm very sad about that. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it because I don't have anywhere for it to go. I was going to put it on like the inside, like next to the mouse, like the trackpad, but it's too big for that too. Like it won't fit.
Do you have like a water bottle or like a coffee thermos?
I mean, I've got a water bottle, but it's like, I don't really want it because it's going to get beaten up because I've got a sticker on my water bottle now and the sticker just like gets destroyed after a while. It's better if it's on a flat surface. So I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But so I bought it. It was $5. I was very excited about it when I bought it. And then it was, even after trimming it down, it's too big. So I'm sad. But yeah, you know.
Yeah. That is disappointing. That happens sometimes. My husband once bought a, like, what he thought, because when you buy a book, you don't check the size of the book, right? It looked like a sort of coffee table book of, like, old train photography, you know, like, from, like, the late 1800s and, like, mid-18, you know, beautiful photos. Which included one, like, a photo that he saw a long time ago and has been, like, trying to trace down ever since, and some like local to the area where we live and stuff. So he was very excited about it. It comes and it was like 2 feet by 3 feet. I'm not joking. It was so large, maybe even 2 feet by 4 feet. I mean, it was like a comical book. It was like a stage prop
for the
Nutcracker or something, so that you could see it from the, you know, balcony. But, and it does not fit anywhere in the bookcase. It's like next to the bookcase. But the photos are huge and beautiful. And so he's like, I can literally just cut out this page and make a frame of it because it is correctly sized to go on a wall, which means we then have to actually hang the art. People who watch the video version of this show may have noticed, as a coachee mentioned to me the other day, that I have had these same photos unhung in the background of this room for months now. They've been there for longer than that. But one of them is even a hearthstone
Lizcon. But they exist in the room.
Yeah. I mean, I've actually been really good about hanging stuff up in here, but now the problem is that I'm running out of accessible wall space and I keep buying stuff. So I don't know what to do with it anymore. So like Maureen got, so she works in the middle school, and the classroom that she was in, I guess, used to be the drama room in the middle school. So they had like all of these vintage, like Broadway posters of like Grease and Phantom of the Opera and whatever. And the teacher who moved into that room was just going to throw them out. So Maureen, of course, you know, rescued them, as one does. So, and then we bought frames for them. And now we have to figure out where they're going to go, and we have no place for them to go. So we have these just sitting, you know, just like that, like there, but we have no idea where we're going to put them. So that's going to be a fun project, figuring out where they go. They look really great in the frames, but we have no walls for them to go.
Part of the issue has been that we have more art than we're going to have room for. So we've like procrastinated because we're going to need to like make decisions and maybe rotate off some of the art that's currently on the wall, because it basically hasn't been changed since my husband moved in and we like merged our stuff, but we never got around to merging the photos and art. So including there's this like beautiful print that I got him as a gift when we were first together that was up in his old apartment, and then when he moved in it's not up. And it would be good if it was up somewhere, but just the, there always seems to be something else to do on a weekend. And then it feels like too big a project for a weeknight, even though maybe it's not. I don't know. It might be the kind of thing that you procrastinate for multiple years and then it takes you like an hour and you're like, why?
It's just that kind of a task. Yeah.
It does seem like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I am pretty good about just getting the stuff up on the walls. Like, cause it's, I know that that's like a small task and I know how to do it. And, but I mean, we also have like, we've even used up room like in the guest bathroom. Like there is, I think I've told this on the show before, where we have this painting of a cat holding a wine glass riding a shark in our guest bathroom that is strategically placed so that when you are on the commode, you, that's what you're looking at. So yeah, it's because, well, because that's just the, that's how we are apparently. So,
I mean, you, yeah, that's the logical place to put it. Our bathroom has bright pink tile. I can't change it. It's a rental. That is what it came with. So when I moved in, I decided to make it a flamenco theme And so there are two small flamingo prints on the wall in the bathroom. And the shower curtain doesn't have, it's sort of green fronds that go with the flamingos on the wall. But, and then my mom got me like replacements for the plate that goes around the light switch that have little flamingos on it. It's small enough that I feel like it's not completely ridiculous to have it there. My husband has not objected to him being there.
I mean,
but we were like, you know what? If it's going to have bright pink tile, you just have to like lean into it, you know?
At a certain point, he knows what he married into. And like, he just needs to, I mean, I'm sure that he's kind of going with the flow at this point. Cause like you kind of know what you're signing up for at a certain point. Like,
yes. And we knew each other for a long time before we even got together. So it was like, we knew what we were signing up for. Although I have to admit, I had not, he had said for years before we were together that he would just like cry like a baby at like every movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a little bit of a, not a tough guy persona, but like he doesn't strike you as the kind of person who would cry easily at movies. So I was like a little skeptical. He totally does though. I was actually pleased to find this out. I was like, this is very endearing. And he's like, I told you so. I was not hiding that this whole time, but no one ever believes me.
Having met him, I could see your skepticism. I understand how you could get there and why you would not necessarily believe that without experiencing it for yourself.
Yeah. No, it was funny to get to know, you know, see the things that we expected and the things that we didn't expect when we got together.
Yeah, I came home the other day and there was a life-sized stuffed owl on my bed. And it's not cute, by the way. It looks like it's had a hard life. And it looks like it's maybe got a touch of the mange. And its name is Kevin, apparently. That's its name. And he is quite... No, it is not like that. That is a cute owl. That is adorable. This is not adorable. This looks like you are having an unwanted encounter with wildlife unexpectedly inside of the bedroom is what's happening. And I mean, I know this is, again, we've been married for 23 years. I know what I signed up for. Like, I'm not fighting it. I may make some comments about Kevin's appearance and that he may need to go see a vet, but or animal control or whatever happens to be. But yeah, it's, you know,
my mom has, my dad, we would sort of, spirit animal is not the right word in sort of cultural appropriation, but like an animal we associated with him was owls. And so my mom has lots of owl things. And one of them is pretty scruffy. I would say not mangy, but pretty scruffy. But he looks very wise. He looks very sort of psychoanalytic. And my dad was a psychoanalyst by training and then sort of became more psychodynamic psychiatrist. So they had a whole sort of mythology about Doctor Who. Oh. Instead of Doctor Who, the,
oh my god,
TV show, all the, they would attribute wise sayings to Doctor Who, and he had sort of a pride of place in their bedroom, and still does to this day have a pride of place in the bedroom, and occasionally get wise things. In fact, my mom brought Doctor Who to my wedding and set him up sort of on the table with the guest book and things, and we put a little owl on the huppa as well to represent my dad being there. So that was sweet.
Was the wedding bigger on the inside?
It was. My mom managed to make the little church that we were in feel bigger on the inside to some extent. So where the photographer at first was like, "Yeah, we can take all the pictures inside." And I say churches, really, you know, more of a community rooms and non-denominational. And then at the end of the ceremony, she goes, "Oh, I don't have room to like back up and get everyone in the shot. Yeah, we should We should do this outside, even though the light was, it was a little backlit, but she made it work. And so we still got good photos, but yeah.
All right. Should we go? We should probably find someone to raid. Yeah. I'm just putting the link to the Jeffrey Sue stuff in the show notes before I forget about it. You know, I don't want anyone to not be cool if we could get him to do some merch for us. I wouldn't even like presume. But, well, we've talked about Hunter a lot. We can go raid around Mexico. That seems like
something we can do.
Please found stuff to do with Ankylodon.
Well, he said something about eggs. So
he's can't make an omelet without cracking
he's
a few eggs.
He's not even playing Hunter. He's playing Death Knight. Oh, these must be dark days. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming out. We will see you next week. We'll see you same bat time, same bat channel. Have a wonderful night. Bye.
Bye.